Many unseen watchers witness the scene. It is dark because the sun refuses to look upon the awful scene. Its full, bright rays illuminate the earth at midday, when suddenly it seems to be blotted out. No eclipse or other natural cause brings on this darkness, which is as deep as midnight without the moon or stars. Holy angels are beside the cross. The darkness mercifully hides the agony of Christ from the gaze of the jeering multitudes. As the darkness lifts from the cross, Christ revives to a sense of physical suffering.
My thirst.
This will quench your thirst. A sponge dipped in vinegar.
In silence, the beholders watch for the end of the fearful scene. Priests and rulers look toward Jerusalem, and lo,
the dense cloud that was here has settled over the city and the plains of Judea.
The Sun of Righteousness, the light of the world, is withdrawing his beams from the once favored city. The fierce lightnings of God's wrath are directed against Jerusalem.
It is finished, Father. Into thy hands I commend Spirit.
Never before has the earth witnessed such a scene. The multitude stands paralyzed and with bated breath gaze upon the lifeless Savior. Again darkness settles upon the earth. A violent earthquake shakes the earth. The people are shaken together in heaps. Rocks are rent from mountains and go tumbling down into the plains. Tombs are broken open, and the dead are cast out upon the ground. Priests, rulers, soldiers, executioners, and people mute with terror lie prostrate upon the ground. When the loud cry, "It is finished," comes from the Savior's lips, the priests are officiating in the temple. It is the hour of the evening sacrifice. The lamb representing Christ has been brought to be slain. Clothed in his significant and beautiful dress, the priest stands with lifted knife. With intense interest, the people look on. Suddenly,
the inner veil is rent in twain, torn from top to bottom, revealing the most holy place to the eyes of the people.
Type has met antitype. The Lamb of God has been slain. The great sacrifice has been made. Henceforth, the Savior is to officiate as priest and advocate in the heaven of heavens. Satan is defeated. He knows that his kingdom is lost.
My kingdom is lost, and you laugh. Do you realize what is lost?
I do now. Oh, I understand everything.
You understand nothing. No one does but me.
You were once the most beautiful of all created beings, right?
I still am.
Oh, have you recently noticed the wrinkles on your face? And how truly evil it looks. Your beauty is gone, disappeared, vanished.
I am also the wisest being, as wise as the Son of God himself.
You were wise, the wisest of all created beings, yes. You held the top position in heaven, next in power to God's Son. You were admitted in the throne room, next to God himself. But what happened?
I used the wisdom I had and convinced you and a third of all the angels in heaven that I had a better form of government than God's.
You lied to us. That's why we believed you.
Of course I lied to you. I invented lies. I am the father of lies. That's why my government is better than God's. In my government, You can do anything you please. Lie, cheat, covet, kill, steal. Just do anything at all you please to do. That is freedom. God's government is based on laws. 10 of them. You have to obey them. That is not freedom.
Well, that sounds fine. It sounds right and good. It sounds like freedom, but it isn't. Freedom is based on respect for the rights of others. Obedience to just laws bring freedom.
You are thinking. I told you not to. I will do your thinking for you.
Oh, yes, yes, Beelzebub, I know. You said obedience is not freedom, yet you want me to obey you. More deception, lies, untruth.
Call me anything you wish. That kind of freedom is part of my government.
Yes, Beelzebub. You have lost the battle with God's son, and you know it. Admit it.
I have lost the dominion of the earth. I usurped from Adam, yes. But I have not lost control of most of the people. They still prefer to listen to me and enjoy the glitter and pleasures I offer them. They always will.
Always.
Always.
Again you lie.
Why not?
Why so? I know the truth anyway.
You, my chief lieutenant, know truth?
I do. When you and a third of God's angels, including me, rebelled against God, he did not destroy us. Why?
Because he had not the power to do so.
God is just. And because he is just, he did not destroy you. Had he destroyed you then and there, and we angels with you, there would have been forever a doubt in the minds of the unfallen beings whether you or God was right.
I was right, and still am.
So God let us live. He let you tempt Adam. Adam fell, and you became king of this world with full dominion. You established your form of government. Hatred, poverty, cheating, killing, sorrow, death. The angels left in heaven and created beings everywhere watched closely. When Jesus died on the cross, the angels were forever convinced that God is right and you are wrong. Never again will they doubt.
If you're so wise, why were we not destroyed when he died on the cross?
Because created beings, other than the angels of heaven, are not yet quite convinced that your government is entirely wrong. When they are convinced, then you and the rest of us, also everyone and everything that still possesses evil, will be destroyed. You are the author of death. Therefore, death shall be destroyed. The vegetation, wicked people, everything that is still subject to death will be done away with by fire, and God will recreate the earth in its original beauty. Never again will sin, the one word that describes you and your government, show its ugly head.
In the meantime, you and your helpers will continue to lie to the people, tempt them with the glitter and the pleasure of sin. Me!